7 o'clock hour here on Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long and the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, after the first day of Saints training camp padded practices. We talk about this is when we really get to see, you know, football in action. What's funny, Cajun Cannon, though, is tomorrow, they're going to have a walkthrough and go on special teams after one day in pads.
Why? I don't know how either. They structure practices. You know, collective bargaining agreement and all that. We had in pads, so we have to have a walkthrough. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to get better on the offensive line, we got to practice blocking. And blocking with pads, not hand placement, footwork, and all that. How much you actually hit people. And then not that you're taking people to the ground, you know, because coaches always holler, stay off the ground, which is the right thing. You got to be like the dancing bear. You know, you're going and you're staying up and you got good footwork. You're not just sloppy and you're flying everywhere and you end up on the ground. Because that's when you get people cut and you tear up their ankles, knees, and all that. But, I mean, I don't know. To me, that's been a pet peeve of mine. Like driving in the left lane. It's a passing lane. Get out the left lane.
Oh, my Lord. Don't even get me started, you know, Bobby. The worst part of my workday is going on I-10.
Well, you can get an I-10, but it's not a speed limit lane. It's a passing lane.
Nobody knows how to drive.
Get in the middle of the right. Don't get in the left lane. And if you're an 18-wheeler, hell no. They're never getting the left lane.
I was a grumpy old man the other day. Downpour was coming down, you know, on the way home from work. And there are three cars that are driving on the highway with their hazards on. Well, what are you doing?
The hazards, you're not in the, listen, no, it's not, is your car about to break down? Then you put the hazard lights on. No, it's like, I don't know, you don't take driver's education, driver's ed, whatever?
So I said, I felt like a grumpy old man. I couldn't wait to get home. I was like, this is ridiculous.
So yeah, Steve, I don't even know why I even went off on that tangent. Now I'm thinking about why am I talking about pet peeves and...
Because they're going to be having a walkthrough after one padded practice.
Yes, I think we got to practice blocking. We got to practice blocking. Now, I don't know. Maybe the Saints can explain this to me. Why are we not practicing against the Chargers? We're going out to Irvine. Going to be there for 10 days. I mean, I think Coach Harbaugh, he ain't sidestepping. Why can't we have 1 or 2 days where you practice against the Chargers? We worried about maybe hurting our confidence level.
Maybe Kellen Moore's not a fan of joint practices. I don't know.
Well, why not?
Right. I don't know.
Because at times, I know this is old school, when you compete against one another, your teammates all the time, that gets old. You want to go against somebody else.
Someone else, right.
Yeah, so why wouldn't that? The Chargers are a good measuring stick.
Sure.
So you can see how far maybe you need to go where you're at. Then you play the preseason game. I'm just saying that. Have 1 or 2 practices. You're out there already. Somebody in the Saints got to explain that to me. And when I'm out there, I want them to tell me, why are we not practicing against the Chargers? You're out there. Why not do it? Because all NFL teams. I want to say Sean Payton. Didn't Sean Payton have success with the Saints? I think, look it up. I think the Broncos are practicing against not one but 2 teams.
I always said that
2 teams.
I preferred the joint practices even over preseason games.
Well, and what I like, you have 2 practices going on at one. It almost blows your mind because you got so many information. Okay, you go watch this practice. Overload. I'm going to go watch this practice. You go watch that practice. There's so much going on, but I think it just entices a player. It's the closest thing to an actual game and competition because you never want to be embarrassed.
Right.
You want to compete, so you're going against a different opponent. I don't know. I'm going to ask Kellen Moore the next time we go out there before they go to Irvine. I'm going to say, Coach Moore, why wouldn't you have a joint practice against the Chargers? I'm sure the Saints organization will prepare him for that question, but I'm going to know why. You got to have a good answer. Why would not want to go against another NFL team? Are we playing the Chargers this year?
Yes. Well, in the preseason.
Yeah. No, are we playing the Chargers when it counts?
No. Not in the regular season.
Okay, unless it's the Super Bowl. Oh, Saints Chargers Super Bowl. I don't know. Maybe. That'd be a surprise in Vegas if that happens. But what I'm saying, we're going against the Chargers. And guys that maybe aren't going to play against the Chargers in the actual preseason game, well, then you play them on a Wednesday or whatever. You have them compete like the best against the best. And then you see where your offensive and defensive lines are at.
Who knows? Maybe his time with the Chargers didn't end well, so there's, I don't know, bad blood with the organization and him?
You got to check your ego. You got to check your ego and just got to do what's the best interest of the team.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just trying to come up with some kind of reason why they wouldn't do the joint sessions.
I'm a friend with Jim Harbaugh, so a lot of people don't like Jim Harbaugh. I like Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh and I are cool. That goes back to Michigan Panther days, 1983, when he was a quarterback at University of Michigan. You know the last time I played against the Bears?
Bears.
Let's say 91, 92, I think it might have been 92. Guess who was the quarterback with the Bears and we beat him 20-6?
Good old Harbaugh?
Jim Harbaugh versus Bobby Hebert. And we won 20-6. So, no, Jim Harbaugh and I go way, way back. So I just like his mentality, and I think it'd be a good measuring stick. Because in a Harbaugh, even though you look at the Chargers, Eric Coryell and all kind of like finesse. The Chargers aren't like that anymore.
Right.
Who did they draft, Charlie, at running back? And I want to
see Marion Hampton.
Yes, Marion Hampton from North Carolina,
and he's rising up fantasy football boards too.
I'm telling you, even though they got Justin Herbert and all that, they want to pass. I'm telling you, the Chargers are going to want to run the ball. Okay, maybe I don't know. Coach Moore didn't want to maybe go against the Chargers and their run blocking, or what would they do? Like, because you got to have a run drill, like 12 plays, because we were one before last against the run. I don't know. We looked pretty good the first four plays against the run, how we stuffed it. So I think that'd be a good measuring stick. How can we stack up against the Chargers? Well, you know how they want to play. Why wouldn't we practice against them? The practice, have your cake and eat it too. You practice against them, and you have the preseason game.
Couple notes about the Chargers here, guys. They just paid Rashawn Slater, their tackle, left tackle, a gigantic contract. But one thing I remember is when Jim Harbaugh, the first offseason that he had with the Chargers, that first draft, they had the number 5 overall pick. Everyone was just like, oh, they need to get a wide receiver for Justin Herbert. They need to get weapons. They need weapon help. And they picked Joe Alt, the offensive tackle from Notre Dame, in that stacked offensive tackle class. And Harbaugh said after they picked him, he said, we view offensive linemen as weapons in this and what we want to do.
As weapons.
And it was just like, I love that from Coach Harbaugh. And Joe Alt ended up having a pretty good rookie campaign, just like some of those other tackles in that rookie class.
Well, I mean, and that formula tends to work. What Jim Harbaugh wants to do with the Chargers, because it worked for the Eagles. Who's the Super Bowl champs?
Right.
The Eagles. Didn't they dominate an offensive line?
Could it be something where, like, a first-year head coach and maybe he's not comfortable with doing something like that?
What you mean? Like
holding the joint sessions for as Kellen Moore as a first-year head coach.
Well, why wouldn't you be comfortable? He's been in the pros. He's not coming out of Boise State.
I'm trying to throw all these excuses at you that I can come up with. I don't know.
No, I mean, if you're scared, say you're scared. You shouldn't be scared. It's the pros.
I don't think he's scared.
No, it's the NFL. I mean, practice against him. I mean, come on, it's a good measuring stick. The game doesn't count. The practice doesn't count. I can remember going against the Bears after they won the Super Bowl in 1986. We felt like in Platteville, Wisconsin, we felt like the junior varsity. I was like, oh, my God, score against the Bears defense? How we can get 2 first downs in a row? I'm looking across. Dan Hampton, Steve McMichael.
Just staring you
Richard
down.
Richard Dent, Wilbur Marshall, Otis Wilson, Mike Singletary. I'm guaranteed I had the best seat in the house. I'm handing it off to Don Hilliard. Dan Hampton, Steve McMichael in the backfield tackling me and Don at the same time. Coach Moore had to cut the drill out. Supposed to run 12 running plays. We ran like 7 because it was like minus yards. We couldn't even get to the line of scrimmage. That's what I'm thinking. Whoa, if we were playing the Bears for real, I hope we can get 2 first downs in a row. How are we going to score? We were like the JV versus the varsity. That was when the year before, when the Bears came to the Superdome, what do you call the Mercedes? I don't know, the Superdome, and crushed the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And that's when you witness how many teams do this. I think it might be the only time in Super Bowl history where the winning team in the Super Bowl carries 2 coaches on their shoulders. So you'll be, oh, it's disruptive. It's too much chaos. The defense carried Buddy Ryan,
right,
and the offense carried Mike Ditka. And they won the Super Bowl, crushed everybody that year. That was the closest any team came to being undefeated, except for the Patriots. That Bears and Patriots to catch the Dolphins. But then Buddy Ryan was too hard-headed, putting Wilbur Marshall on the slot receiver when they played the Dolphins and lost to Dan Marino, or they would have went undefeated. But they won that Super Bowl. We played them the next year in camp. It was unbelievable the amount of fans. They had 15,000 fans out there. No, we really felt like the B team or the JV playing the varsity. So what, Coach Moore can't feel like we'd have beat JV playing the varsity charges. We can understand where we're at and be a good measuring stick and just make you work harder what you need to do to be amongst the best.
We're stepping away here for a little bit here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll go into our WWL Sound Bank that's brought to you by First American Bank. The Cajun Cannon and myself sat down with defensive end Carl Granderson after today's practice. You'll hear that after the break here on WWL Saints Radio after this.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. First day of padded practices out here at Saints training camp, and pretty fitting joining us, one of the more physical guys on this Saints defense, defensive end Carl Granderson. Man, oh man, how you doing? Does it feel like you're going into year seven?
Man, yes, it does. my body is hurting now. I'm just playing. But I feel good going to year seven. I'm a true vet now, and I'm a professional. So I'm moving like it. I'm helping the young guys out, and I'm playing fast.
You know, Carl, I know you want to be an every-down player. Mm-hmm. But when you look at all your experience now, what do you think that obviously you can get better in all areas? Right. But is it harder to be more disciplined as far as a pass rusher or as far as your assignments like run defense to be able to hold your own? That I know, you know, because Cam always had the reputation, you can't run at Cam Jordan.
Yeah.
And I know you want to have that reputation. So what is probably more difficult and takes more discipline? Is it maybe being the best stopping the run or getting after the passer?
Yeah, I mean, everybody have a different play style. You know, you got some guys that's a finesser. You got some guys that's more power. But to be an overall complete player, that's the goal. So, like you said, some teams be like, yeah, we're not going to run it to Cam's side, so we're going to go the other way. So, I'm the type of person to be like, run at me, though. You know, I'm physical, I'm violent, I'm aggressive. I like to set edges. So, it's very important to be focused in on your playbook and know your assignment and just get after it, run in and pass rushing.
You know, Carl, when you look at, like, your football career, you know, high school, Sacramento, and then you had Wyoming Cowboy and everything. So, and now you're looking to not only play, like, with your hand in the ground, but standing up. But that was something you were familiar with that you've done in the past, right? Like a big outside linebacker who can run. Just talk a little bit about that in the background, maybe going back to your high school or college days and having those responsibilities.
I'm going to be honest with you. I should have been in a 3-4, to be honest with you. But like you said, back in high school, I was an outside linebacker, and then I moved my senior year to DN. So I always been an outside linebacker, flying from sideline to sideline. And then, obviously, I've been in a 4-3 the last, 6 years before that. So I just feel like I'm back at home. I'm moving around. I could go back to sideline now, getting after the quarterback. So this ain't nothing new to me. Now I just have to put it all together and play with the other guys in the front line.
You know, I know you always want to rush the passer, but what you got to mix it up in certain schemes, whether you are asked to drop in coverage. What is probably more difficult, if you man-to-man coverage or maybe you're getting your depth on your zone drops and being disciplined in those zones? And because it comes that clock in your head, well, we're zone now, who's in my zone? Then it turns almost to man to latch on,
right.
You know, a matchup zone. But would that be harder in man-to-man responsibility or what? Because I know if you're trying to cover Alvin Kamara out the backfield, you might be thinking, I don't want him to juke me. I'm going to go up and jack him so he can't get started.
Yeah, right. Honestly, everything is hard. This is the NFL, you know, ain't nothing come easy. But to be dropping, we used to drop before. But now we might drop maybe once or twice a little bit more. But obviously, they put us in the best position to make plays. And we're going to have help. And then we're going to get after the quarterback. So they like to mix it up. And then our thing is just knowing what to do and how to do it and play fast. So, yeah.
Is that the key? I notice, you know, a number of NFL players that the more experience you get, it becomes second nature. You don't have to think and then react. It just, you can just play fast. Is that something you notice now through the years, that you're so confident now that you can play fast
no matter who you're going against.
Yeah, that's the good thing about being a professional athlete. You do have an assignment. You have to execute it, but it's common sense. If the ball is in front of you, go get the ball. Don't do your job sometimes, but you better make the play. So that's what it's all about, is just being a great player and having good instincts and making plays.
Now, Carl, some players set goals, so others don't. You know, the team concept on defense, you can be doing an outstanding job, but you have to come together as a unit. Like, for instance, being able to stop the run.
Right.
I mean, you could be doing your job, but everybody, we have to play as one unit.
Right.
Do you individually, though, set goals as far as, because, you know, as fans always look, they don't look at necessarily quarterback hurries or pressures. Mm-hmm. Oh, how many sacks you got? Did you get the double-digit sacks? Is there a number maybe that you go into this season, boy, maybe I could get more national recognition if I get the double-digit sacks?
Right. Really? I ain't gonna lie, I set goals over the years, but like it seemed like every time I set a goal, it don't happen. So, like when I had 8.5 sacks, I didn't set that goal. You know, I was just out there playing, having fun. So this year I'm on the same hype, just to get out there, play, have fun, and play as a unit. And the further this team go, the better individually you're gonna be in the future. So yeah, that's the plan.
Working with the new defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley, what's that change been like coming from DA's defense?
Yeah, it's been a little change. He's come with the fire. He held us to a high expectation, and he don't play games. You know, we are trying to get better, and he's making every correction. Nobody get passes, and yeah, so it's been good so far. I'm excited to get after it this season.
Now, Carl, when y'all going to head out to Cali and Irvine, do you have any family members maybe that will come out and see you still living in California maybe? I know that's Northern California, Sacramento versus Southern, but will they come out to Irvine to see you or what? Maybe not?
I might have, like, you know, one or two family members, but that's it. You know, I see them when I see them. They know once I'm in camp, I'm locked in. Don't call my phone. Don't text me. I'm going to get back to you when I can. So, yeah, probably one or two. But I want to spend majority of that time, you know, with the guys and getting to know my teammates. So, you know, the more we do that, the better we're going to play together.
What'd you do this offseason before, you know, before getting into OTAs, mini camp, training camp? Mm-hmm. How'd you enjoy your downtime this offseason?
Yeah, I spent like the first couple of months, went back home to Sacramento, California, spent it with my family, had game nights, and was just chilling, getting off my feet before I started working back out, and then came back for OTAs, met Staley, met Rogers, met some of the new guys, and I was here for the OTAs. And then, you know, after mini camp, shoot, I just been in New Orleans eating some good food and just hanging out, getting ready for training camp.
Now, the last one, Bob, when I look at this day and age, how even college football has changed, and I say a player like Carl Granderson, I don't know if Wyoming would have had enough money to keep him. NIL, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're getting that recognition, and then you probably, you know, USC might have came and knocking,
right.
Whoever. You ever thought about that occurring? Or
I'm going to be honest with you. I probably, if it was back then, the NIL and the transfer portal back then, I probably would have transferred, to be totally honest with you. Even back then, our rivals was Boise, and they wanted me to come there. So, yeah, I probably – shoot, our whole defense probably would have transferred. We had some guys. We had Logan Wilson, Carl Granderson. We had Kevin Prosser. We had obviously Josh Allen. He probably would have transferred too. But we had a great team. And this day and age now with all this NIL and stuff, a lot of these kids is staying in college and year six, year seven, like, yeah, trying to get the money. But I'm happy for them. And, yeah.
Awesome stuff hearing from you, Carl. Best of luck going forward, and looking forward to seeing you in action week one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm ready to get after it. I'm excited for this season to get better going through training camp. And we're going to have some fire, offense and defense. But stay tuned. Don't say too much.
Let's go. Who that?
Well, Carl, you're a fan favorite. I can tell you that. The fans really appreciate how hard you play and hopefully continued success.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
We're back here on Sports Talk. Just heard from Saints defensive end Carl Granderson and our WWL Soundbank, brought to you by First American Bank. Another guy we're going to get into some audio here, Cajun Cannon. Julian Blackman, Black and Gold's new safety, coming in, filling that vaunted spot that left by Tyrann Mathieu when he retired. And obviously, he's coming into this going, you really can't come into a situation and replace a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, especially someone that's from Louisiana, a local dude that's been in high school, college, and in the pros, just a football legacy he's left behind here, plus the work that Honey Badger did in the community. One of those dudes that'll sorely be missed all around. I'm sure we're going to be hearing from him and interested to hear what the Honey Badger has in store in his post-career. Will it be coaching? Will it be as an analyst?
Yeah, we can get a Honey Badger on the Big 870. we never know. But, no, when you look at Blackman, I mean, that made sense to bring him on board. I don't know. The one thing about the Saints organization, we love Utah Utes. You know, I'm not pronouncing the TH because there's no TH.
What is a tribal Ute?
A Ute, I guess, the American Indian tribe in Utah. UTES, the Utah Utes. You know, the big rival. They're bringing young Cougars and all that. But he's a Ute. Like, remember Marcus Williams?
Right.
He was a Ute. Blackman's a Ute. Burgess, another safety. They're all safeties. We love the safety Utes.
Safety Utes.
Yeah. So, but look at that Blackman, you know, 6 foot. 202 pounds. He's going into his sixth year out of University of Utah. Same thing with Burgess. 202 pounds, 5'11", so same height, and he's going into his fifth year. So a lot of experience there, and I think it's all about that trust factor.
But still young.
Yeah, still young. Still young, a lot of wisdom. And the one thing I was telling you is that physically, if you're healthy and you know what to do, you want to play fast. And to play fast, you have to know what you're doing, not some of the time, all of the time. Well, so Bobby, they should know what they're doing all the time. But the thing is, everybody does the same coverages. You know, different concepts. You're doing quarters coverage, two deep, three deep. You know, a variation, man-free or two-man deep. It's all these different coverages. But it's the terminology. And how are you trying to communicate? So that's what Blackman said in the interview. It's like the verbiage. Like, okay, would you call one thing, let's say when he's with the Colts, would you call one thing could be completely different with the Saints? That's why you got to study and prepare. That's why I said there's no dumb professional football players unless you can rush the passer. If you can rush the passer, you know about five things, then you could do it. But when you're playing like running back, you have to know pass protection. You look at receivers, you have to know sight adjust, offensive line, the calls they have to make. I'd say there's no dumb offensive players in the pros or you can't play. You won't last. I'd say defensively, linebacker's got to be smart, secondary. Then defensive line, no. If you can communicate, know a handful of things, experience, you'll be all right. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. But other than that, when I look at Blackman and whoever, like the verbiage, and how you communicate. For instance, let's say you're in the dome, okay, here, the Caesar Superdome. And you know, they practice, they can yell out, they can communicate, and you learn what the coverage means.
You ain't hearing anything in a rocking dome.
No, because you want the crowd to be loud against your opponent, maybe they jump off sides. So you can't verbally communicate, you got to do hand singles. And like baseball. So then, okay, what does this mean? What coverage are we doing? Zone to man to zone? Are we going to bracket? Are we playing in and out, short and long? You know, who are we doubling because of the motion? No, you can't be dumb or you won't last. It has to be like snap of your finger. It's happening, and you got to be able to communicate. So that's with Blackman, and that's why you need veterans sometimes, and young guys can get overwhelmed.
Right.
I mean, and maybe that's why Jordan Howden got overwhelmed when we played the Eagles. And got it all of a sudden running on a simple drag route for a touchdown because three guys run into each other. And that was Hound's fault. Honey Badger and all, we all running each other. What are we doing? Who was the other safety? Now I think he's with the Washington Commanders, who was on our team last year. Had a lot of starts. I want to say Mississippi State. I can't think of his name right now. But he was one of the three guys that ran into each other. Charlie helped me out with that. And then who was that?
Will Harris?
Will Harris, yes. I'll tell you, Will Harris and Honey Badger, they were all right. It's damn Jordan Howden. It's like all of a sudden, and that's, I bring that up, because we could have been 3-0.
Could have been, should have.
Would have, could have, should have, and all that got and all. But anyway, that's why the communication comes into play and what you're doing, and that's what Blackman said about the verbiage. That's when it has to become second nature. Then you're in that meeting room. That's why when you say second nature, That's why overall, not the Minneapolis Miracle. I've said this before about when Marcus Williams, I don't know, seemed like the fix was on. Come on, dude. How can you whiff like that? But I'm saying overall, him and Malcolm Jenkins, no, they were pros.
Great tandem, right?
Yeah, they were pros in how they communicate and what they were doing, their responsibility. That's what you want your safeties to be. So you look at Reed and whether they be Blackman, Burgess, whatever, I would tend to go with the older guys than Sanker right now. And Jordan Howden, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he does in the preseason.
Safety Julian Blackman, the newest member of the Black and Gold, had an interception yesterday at practice. Let's hear a little bit what he had to say after today's practice.
How's it been since you've been here? I mean, how you feel comfortable here?
I feel very comfortable. The guys are great. The coaches are great. So it's really easy to just find my way. You got good leaders here, so it's been fun, man. I really enjoy being here. I haven't been here long, but so far it's very welcoming.
Defense close to what you've done before?
It is a lot similar, but at the same time, you got little caveats that I'm not used to. So just getting more of the verbiage down. After that, it's not too difficult, but it's still something that, you know, there's always something that I'm learning.
How did this come about, coming to New Orleans? And I'm guessing you were waiting for the right opportunity?
Yeah, I had conversations with them throughout the whole offseason, just talking to the guys, going through physicals. And like you said, I was just kind of waiting for the best opportunity, and this one presented itself as the best to me. I'm really close to Coach Staley, so since I came out of the draft, I had been talking to Staley, you know, when he was with the Rams, and then he went to San Fran last year, talked to him there, and then this year he was like, "You're back again." Like, I've been trying to get you, so it's good to work with him.
Is he the reason you wanted to come here? Was there something about this defense, or was he it? Like, once he
a little bit
I don't
of
my play for that
a
guy.
Little bit of both is I really love his energy. I really love what he has to offer. I really love the defense. I love the guys that are here. There's a lot of opportunity on the defensive side, so it just felt like the best fit for me.
When you say that you've been talking for a while, what prevented it from happening? They upped their number recently, or you liked the opportunity when Tyron retired? Or
honestly, it was something that we were pushing towards before the retirement. It was just something that I felt comfortable doing, and then, you know, that just so happened to happen. So it wasn't like we were waiting on Tyron's decision. It was more of like, I know the guys around me, and even if Tyron was here, it'd be great to learn from him. So it was one of those things.
What is your strength? What do you feel like is your strength? You played all along in secondary, correct? Nicholas, mm-hmm. Corner, mm-hmm. What is your strength?
I would say taking the ball away, zone defense, communication. I'm really good at understanding route concepts, just being able to know where a quarterback's going to go, where my weaknesses are, who needs help when. So it's kind of one of those things where, because I've played every position, it's easier for me to communicate with guys what I'm seeing, because I'm more of like a free safety. So being able to see the whole field and tell guys what I'm diagnosing helps them.
Coach Joseph and Kellen have been, you know, praising how you just hopped in and you're understanding everything. You just kind of got the ball rolling. How can you just speak to how important it was to get the ball rolling being in a training camp?
Just watching film, going over the game plan like multiple times, making sure that I understand what calls are what, because, you know, when you come from a different team, you might have the same calls, but they might be called differently. So just being able to get the verbiage down was pretty much it for me, and then being able to go from there was fine.
What stands out about the way that Staley likes to use the safety?
I mean, it's very visionary, and quarterbacks don't like that. So being able to play very visionary means turnovers, and turnovers are what we're here for. So being able to get the ball back to the offense is the most important, and this defense, it's very opportunistic.
How do you think you I know it's only been a couple of days, but how do you think you pair with Justin Reed?
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love him. I love what he brings to the table. He's an enforcer. He's an aggressive player. Being able to have a guy to rely on like that is honestly nice to me. He's like a safety blanket. So compliments me well, and he's also very communicative as well. So, I mean, the first day I got here, I mean, he started telling me, hey, this is what I'm looking at. You should look at this. This is where I'm stressed. And just trying to help me out with the verbiage and just get a better understanding of that.
Saint safety Julian Blackman on our WWL Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. And yeah, already making plays and making himself, his presence fell early on here during training camp. Nice to see from a guy that was just brought in literally, you know, we found out eve of training camp that Tyron was retiring.
Well, I'm more worried about, okay, you look at the strength last year of our secondary.
Mm-hmm.
We had Lattimore, Paulson, and Debo. We traded in the Commanders. Paulson, yeah. And Debo now with the Giants. No, they were highly valued. Look at the strength of the team. Alante Taylor, we're bringing him along. Now he's the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Alante Taylor. I'm telling you right now, look at my crystal ball coming up this season. I'm more concerned with the cornerback play than I am with the safety play. I think with Reed, I think with Blackman and Burgess, and then draft pick Sanker, I think I'm more confident in their ability, what they're going to do. I'm more intrigued. I think Alante Taylor, I think he's going to take that next step.
But who's that guy next?
But what is Kool-Aid going to do?
Right.
Okay, what is Riley going to do? I've seen Riley keep up with interception, but I've seen him get burned a couple
of times.
First
pick of camp.
But I've seen him get burned a couple of times. So I would say I'm more concerned, but again, the best pass coverage is a pass rush. I'm more concerned with the cornerback play than the safety play right now, I would say, as we go forward into August and in training camp.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with one last segment here on WWL right after this. Back here on Sports Talk, going to take one last look into Bobby's Notebook, brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Cajun Cannon, other than the quarterback battles, I know the Saints' run game was also a bit disappointing today in the first day in pads. We did see at least Kendra Miller rip off a nice run.
Yeah, one of the initial runs, they took the fifth play, because the first four plays, they were stuffed. Kendra Miller, nice couple of cuts, good vision. He got plus nine. Now, I wanted to say this, Steve. I can talk about this again tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow.
Same bad time, same bad place.
I'm going to be here 4 days in a row. Oh, damn, it's a miracle.
People have been missing you. They're going to get their Cajun Cannon fix.
Yeah, 4 days in a row, but the end practice, not good for Hayner. But Jaden Price had a pick six. North Dakota State, 5'11", 185. He's not a rookie. And then I think he also had a sack. This guy from South Dakota State, Dallas Beanham, whatever her name.
Dallas Beanham, yeah.
Yeah. So he had a sack. So you know what's amazing? South Dakota State, North Dakota State contributing to the Saints.
Cajun Cannon, that's a wrap on the first day of padded practices. We'll be back at it tomorrow, like you said, right here on Sports Talk, 4 o'clock. Make sure you tune in, Tokes.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat?